Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Greg Giannotti, Paul Alexander, and Jim Colony. Jaguars-Steelers, 1 o'clock at Heinz Field. You can watch it on CBS. Iron Eagle and Hall of Famer Dan Fouts calling the game. Dan joins us right now. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
First off, I have to ask you about Ben Roethlisberger. I think the ultimate compliment when one quarterback talks about another, especially from your era, is he could have played when I played. Do you see that in Ben?
Oh, he could have played when they had leather helmets. Are you kidding? I hate the term old school because these guys are making too much money to have ever even gone to school. But, he does play the game the way it should be played, with a toughness and a competitiveness that it permeates the entire team. It lifts the team, and that's why he's been so successful.
And, Dan, one thing we want to talk about as well is the passing of Al Davis. You were out on the West Coast all of that time, and I just want to talk about how you feel he impacted the game. A lot of people don't realize he basically did it all for a long period of time.
Well, he certainly did it all for the Raiders, whether they were in Oakland or in Los Angeles, and even before that. I'm not sure you guys realize, but on Sid Gilman's first coaching staff in San Diego, he had – two assistant coaches, one by the name of Chuck Knoll and the other by the name of Al Davis. So that's how far back Al Davis goes with the American Football League. And how about Chuck Knoll being on Sid Gilman's staff?
That is awesome. Now, how about Al Davis always loving the AFL in the manner that he did? I mean, if he could have kept that, and he was the one guy who was totally against the merger.
Well, and if you look back just recently to when the union and the league got together with the collective bargaining agreement, there were 31 votes in favor and one vote in absentia. Guess whose vote that was?
Yeah, you don't even have to guess. And now everyone's talking about the passing numbers and just how it's a passing league. And I certainly recall with fondness Eric Coryell. This isn't all new, is it?
Well, it certainly has given credence to Coryell's way of thinking about football and his influence on the game. On the offensive side, obviously, the passing has just exploded, especially in the last couple of years. And defensively, the Coryell influence is there, too, because you're seeing five and six and sometimes seven defensive backs out there to try to stop these passing games. So, the thing about throwing the ball and the thing that Coryell always talked about is that you can move it a lot quicker and a lot faster and a lot with more yardage behind you through the air than you can pounding it on the ground, especially with the type of athletes you have playing defense in the NFL right now.
We're talking to Hall of Famer Dan Fouts on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. The Steelers are going to see rookie quarterback Blaine Gabbert on Sunday. You started six games as a rookie in 1973. At what point did you feel comfortable at the position?
Oh, when Coryell got there in my sixth year. No, really. I mean, it's tough. I don't envy any young quarterback, and I really don't envy Blaine Gabbert this weekend because Dick LeBeau. We all know what a great coach he is, and when you got a rookie, there's just some things you can do that are going to be effective because the rookie hasn't seen it. And in this case, he probably hasn't felt it either because he's going to feel it on Sunday because the Steelers are going to make life very miserable for him.
As far as the Steelers, it seems as if they were a little more committed to the run, and it's amazing what that does for the pass game. Ben throws five touchdown passes. Is that what opened up the pass game, was the fact that the Steelers actually appeared to try to run the ball more effectively?
Well, that's what always opens up the pass game. You got to have guys with a thought in their head that, hey, we got to stop the run. We got to commit more guys to the box. And you know what that does? That opens things up down the field. And especially if you can run the ball effectively when you get down to the red zone, that's when the defense really has to react quickly. That's when they go for so many of the play-action fakes. And that's why the passing game is so much more effective if you can run the ball prior to getting down to the red zone.
And speaking of running the ball, Maurice Jones-Drew, the real weapon on this Jaguars team. I feel that the only way the Jaguars can compete if he goes off. Do you see the game going that way as well?
Well, that's the only way. You're absolutely right. The only way that Jacksonville is going to have a shot is to really lean on Maurice Jones-Drew. He's an amazing player, you know, for his size, his strength. He runs as fast. Sometimes you'll watch him when it gets into a pile. He'll turn his back and just pile drive going backwards and move the pile. And the other thing that the offensive line does for the Jaguars is they know he's so hard to get off his feet that once there is a pile, they all start to push that pile, and he gets extra yards, and sometimes he pops out the back side of the pile. So keep your eye on Maurice Jones-Drew on Sunday, because he is the main guy for the Jaguars, and he's got to be the guy to take the pressure off of Gabbert.
And, Dan, the Steelers also, when they struggle, have had the propensity to turn it over. They've given up a block punt, a couple of block field goals. That's another way that I'm sure Jacksonville could find itself right in this ball game.
Well, there's no question that turnovers are really a key, and what do you do with the turnover after you get them? And if you can block a punt or return a kick, some play on special teams, it has a way of picking up the offense and the defense. So if you're looking for an upset, those are the key ingredients, turnovers and plays on special teams.
It's been a strange year in the league. A lot of teams that people didn't expect to have big starts, Buffalo, Detroit, San Francisco, are having those big starts. What's been the most surprising story to you so far?
Well, a lot of people thought Detroit was going to be good, but I didn't think a lot of people thought they'd be 5-0 at this point. And San Francisco has to be, along with Buffalo, two teams that weren't even on the radar. Nobody thought that a new head coach and Jim Harbaugh would be able to get the Niners off to this type of start. And Chan Gailey had some personnel there, but nobody really thought that the Buffalo Bills behind Ryan Fitzpatrick would be doing as well as they are. So yeah, I'll go along with the crowd and say those are my two surprises.
And probably no surprise at all is the fact that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are still right there. Are they still the team to beat until someone says otherwise the best?
You know, there's no question that they're the best team, and if you look at what they did last year to win the Super Bowl with all the injuries they had, they overcame all those injuries, and they won the Super Bowl going away. And now they've got all these guys healthy again. I mean, JerMichael Finley at tight end is a monster, and he's just scratching the surface. And Aaron Rodgers is absolutely the best quarterback in the game right now. He's got it all. His accuracy, both when he's in the pocket and when he's on the move, is uncanny.
You've been around the league, been around the game for a long time. It's as popular as it's ever been. Did you ever think the NFL would reach the height where it is with TV ratings and money and popularity where it is right now?
I never really thought about it. It's just one of those things where you get to the end of the year and you look at those type of numbers and you go, wow, is that right? I mean, it just increases each year. And it's good that we've got a collective bargaining agreement that will keep labor peace now for 10 years. And I'm just glad I got a job covering the games. You know, guys, it's kind of fun.
And one last question for you, Dan. Max Starks, I think he has proven that training camp, practice, and all those other things are the most overrated things in the world.
Well, you know, I just wonder how tired he was after the game, because what he did was pretty remarkable. I'm sure that it's taken him a couple of days to respond, have his body respond. We're going to interview him in our production meeting and find out how he did it and see if he's got a secret formula, because that is remarkable for a guy to step right in and play as well as he did for as long as he did on such training camp, you know, without a training camp, no OTA. That was awesome.
Jaguars and Steelers, 1 o'clock on CBS on Sunday. Dan Fouts with Ian Eagle, who is one of the most funny men in America that people don't know about. Ian is just hilarious. You can watch those guys on CBS. Dan, thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.